The Brendan O'Connor Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Care and protection for the whole family's health at All Care, taking care of communities across Ireland.
Tomorrow night, there will be a unique Easter Sunday concert with the biggest ever gathering of Irish country music stars going virtually online with Daniel and Margot O'Donnell and Nathan Carter, among others. And it's to raise money for Childline, which we'll hear about presently. But Una Healy is on the line. Una, a very good afternoon to you. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hello, Damien. How are you?
I'm very good. Just listening to that last text there from that woman saying, having sympathy with younger women with children, I suppose you can empathise with that yourself with two children down there in Thurles.
It's definitely a lot easier now, the fact that they're, you know, back at school and they're gradually going back. And it's great news that they're all back after Easter. But it has been challenging, of course, you know, as a single parent for me and a working parent, it has been very challenging. So you just have to, you know, take all the support that you can to help you through it. But it has been difficult enough now, I have to say, yeah.
Yeah, you're back in Thurles now, living at home. Are you living with your mother and the two children? And we'll come to it in a while, you upped and left this time 12 months ago because it was so tough at the beginning of lockdown. But you're happily settled back there now. And are the children settled back and into school and all of that?
Oh, they are. So we moved back last summer and I moved back here to Thurles. I mean, my parents are next door. So we live, like, we're not in the same house, but we live kind of back and forth between both houses. And it's great that we're all together now as well, because, yeah, the first lockdown I was there over in the UK. I'd been living over there for 12 years, but I was all on my own for the first one. And it was very, very strange. But I said to myself, I couldn't go through another lockdown on my own. So I decided, I always wanted to come back to Ireland anyway. And it totally accelerated my decision, of course.
And how are the children settling in down there?
Well, they love it. They absolutely love it. Yeah, they're getting on great. They're going to the same school, the presentation here in Thurles that I went to. And they're learning their Irish and they're making lots of lovely little friends. So, yeah, we're all delighted to be back home.
Developing tip accents?
Do you know what? Not yet, you know. I haven't heard that. They know all the kind of, like, the lingo that I would use, you know, but they still have their English accents. I guess, like, yeah, it will take a bit of time for that to change, but they're very well spoken anyway, so,
yeah,
you know.
And they are Tig and?
Tig and Aoife Bell, yeah.
Tig and Aoife Bell. What ages are they now?
So they've both just turned 6 and 9.
Oh,
so they're
right.
Still very young. They're very cute. They're actually just next door here now. And I said, keep the noise down now because I'm going to be on the radio.
Well, hello to them there. Be very good for Mammy there now and keep the noise down. But you had to homeschool them and all of that on your own there over the last few months. So you must have been delighted when they got back to school.
Oh, I was, yeah. Like, the first lockdown, I was homeschooling the two of them. But I guess, like, the schools kind of coped with it themselves as they went along and have helped a lot as well with everything. It's all the resources are online now as well. And they had the classes online and they were really, really good to help the parents as well. But you then, as a parent at home, you had to do the work with them. So you had to supervise, especially when they're young, because the older kids can get on with the work themselves. But when they're young, you have to make sure that they're getting the work done and they understand how to use the apps, because everything's all the technology as well. That they might not be used to, and downloading the app. So it's kind of a learning experience for everyone, for both the parents and the teachers and the kids, you know. It's kind of a process that we all had to kind of learn together, really.
Yeah, now, look, you said there you're single, you went through a marriage breakup. I'm not going to dwell on that. You know, you've talked about that in the past. But one point that you did actually make, and you made it a couple of times on TV, that the importance of the children having a relationship with their dad, Ben Foden, who's now living in the US and is married again and all of that. You know, as tough as it was for you a couple of years ago to go through what you went through, you felt that that was very important. I presume you're happy with that decision, particularly now with the lockdown where they can't physically see their dad.
Yeah, for me, like, if I could take this opportunity as well, it's like I get asked all the time about my personal life and about my situation with my, you know, my divorce and being a single parent and everything. And it gets to the point sometimes where you're asked so much and you don't want to talk about it anymore because you want to move forward in your life. That I even had a letter from a lady. She wrote it in, managed to get down to the Thurles. She didn't even know my address or anything, but she managed to get it here. And she even said in the letter, she said, Una, I saw you on the TV recently. We love to see what you're doing. It's great that you're doing your singing and you're, you know, homeschooling the kids and everything. But she even asked, she said, just don't talk about him anymore. And I just thought to myself, if there are even people, I'm even getting letters to say don't talk about it anymore. I honestly don't even want to talk about it. I've got to that point now where I'm, yeah, like, I'm sort of exhausted from it. And there's just so much more to life than dwelling on the past. And we all just have to cope with whatever we're dealt with in life. And, you know, things unexpectedly happen and you have to cope with them at that time. But I feel I'm in a place now where I just want to move on and, you look forward and live in the present and look forward to the future, you know. And that side of my life, kind of just don't really want to talk about it anymore. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's a way in the past at this stage, and you have more important things at this stage to be dealing with and looking forward to. I mean, there's such an array of opportunities now that are ahead for you, Una. You're quite lucky in terms of, like, I saw you on Virgin there presenting recently. You're going to be on with Doughy now in a few weeks' time as well, and you're doing this concert tomorrow evening. In fact, let's talk about that now, because it's a gathering of Ireland's creme de la creme of country singers who are all coming together to sing online. It's free for us to actually log on to, and we'll give the details at the end, although we should make a contribution because it is in aid of Childline. But this is going to be a labour of love for you, because you really are going home musically, because that's yes. where it all began with you.
Yeah, like, it's going to be an amazing celebration of music, country music. All the country music stars are coming together tomorrow night. So tune in, whatever you're up to at home. You can stream it on your phone, on your tablet, on your laptop, wherever. Watch the concert. Tune in from 8 o'clock. It will be a few hours long because we're all gathering together to perform, and it's free. So you can sit back, relax and enjoy it. But we would encourage everyone to donate whatever they can to Childline. Like, it would mean so much. But yeah, it's just a lovely celebration of music, and for people just to all sit back and enjoy it. And I'm delighted to be part of the country music community as well. We call it like the country music family, because it really feels like that, because it is such a welcoming environment for both the musicians, singers and the fans as well. It's a great place to be part of.
But it's your background, it's your roots. Your uncle is Declan Nerney, the Marquis and Drumlish, Longford man. He's your mother's brother, is that right?
Yeah, Declan's my uncle, and yeah, he's my godfather, and he sort of like has helped me so much in my career so far. Like, even when I was starting out as well, he was really great to encourage, especially the songwriting. So I kind of followed that path as a singer-songwriter for many years before I joined the Saturdays, and had an amazing experience with the girls. But I'm back sort of doing my own music again. A lot of people will class it as country music, because the songs are very like storytelling, heartfelt, emotional, and I write like from the heart. So it's great to be able to use your music and channel your feelings and your music and creation to share it with everybody. And I just love when people come up and say, "I love your song because it means so much to me. It's exactly how I'm feeling." And yeah, that just means the world to me, you know.
But growing up with that sort of a background, you know, some people say it skips a generation and all that. But it didn't in your case, because Declan is your uncle. At what stage can you remember getting into the singing, performing, and, you know, realising that you actually did have a talent here? And what sort of an influence was Declan on that?
Well, he was always an influence there, even from like being a child, like going up to Longford. Me and my sister and my cousins would all get together and have little sing songs. But it wasn't until I was around 12, because like I spent my childhood swimming. I was a competitive swimmer, so like all my dedication went to that. But when I was 12, I started learning guitar. My mum actually taught me how to play, and I started writing songs. And when Declan heard of this songwriting, he was like, "Oh, hang on a minute, like, what's it?" And I was like, "Can I play you one of my songs?" And he was quite taken back. What he felt was very, you know, very good for such a young child, but young teenager. And he always encouraged that side of it for me. And that's why I've decided to release my own music now. And I've been doing so for the last few years as well. But it's always been around me, and I've just always had music in the house as well.
Well, what age were you when you started playing in your dad's golf club and in the pubs around
Tipperary? Yeah, my mum used to sing. She was like, as a child, I always remember her like with the sing songs, and she was like part of the musical society in town, and she'd always go out to the golf club and sing in the cabarets. And so I was always around that kind of thing, and the music and going to Declan's gigs. But myself, like, I was just playing the guitar and writing songs as a teenager and performing them for my musicianship in junior and leaving cert. And then I joined a group in town here in Thurles, and we called ourselves Unreal. And we used to like gig around the pubs in Thurles. And then from there, then I just went on to gig all around Ireland and bought my own PA system, writing my own songs, producing like an EP, which I used to sell at the end of gigs, and kind of like I went down that route, really, the graft and hard route. So eventually when I found my place in the Saturdays, I was like, this is my big break now, finally, because I kind of felt for a while it would never happen, you know, because out there that's trying to pursue a music career, it's so difficult. Like, it really is. It's a huge challenge.
It just doesn't happen. And we would get the impression from, you know, these reality TV shows and X Factor and all that, you know, is you're lucky and it's how you look, and it's Simon Cowell, if he likes it, da da da, and how these bands are put together, that, you know, it's manufactured. But it's not, obviously. You worked so hard to get to be part of the Saturdays and obviously to move on to where you are now as a solo singer.
Like those TV shows are great and they're a great experience. Like I myself auditioned for Pop Stars and Eurostar and a few like that and other auditions that I didn't actually make it through. Because to be honest, at the time I wasn't ready for it, you know. And I found just going out there and doing it like for real, like gigging in the pubs and the clubs and writing music and getting to the point where I felt I was ready. So I would still encourage people to do that. Like anything, you have to, you know, be prepared for the knockbacks and get yourself ready for it, because it won't be handed on a plate. No.
And how difficult was it as a young woman on your own going around to pubs, which are probably full maybe of middle-aged men or whatever like that? Like, was that tough? Was that a challenge in itself?
Yeah, I used to get my car and let the seats down at the back, put in the PA system and like rock up to like as you just pubs where there might be like just also you wonder who could be in there, either a rowdy bunch or it could be very civilized. You know, we never knew what to expect really. So I'd be prepared for, I had a set list ready for whatever crowd I was going to have. Like if it was a busy night, I'd have all my kind of uplifting songs so they can dance around and sing along. And then others, the quiet ones where I used to kind of use that as an opportunity to sing my own original songs and people would sit back and listen to them. So I used to sell my CD at the end of the gigs. But yeah, it was funny, like, as I used to go around on my own, but I'd always have one of my parents with me, either my mother or my father, sometimes both. I used to call them my roadies, and they'd come and help me take the gear out, and I'd set it up. And my mother actually watched me one night on a Sunday night. I think it was in a bar in Clonmel, and she said, I just watched you, you just got up there and you're setting up your gear, and there was a few people in the pub watching you setting it up, and they're going, and she's thinking, she thought to herself, she really has a thick skin going up doing that. Even she said that. So I don't know. I just kind of got on with it, you know. Yeah. I didn't feel intimidated. It's just have to be like that.
It's the tough Tipperary blood with a little bit of Longford Tony in.
Yeah, that's it. And Galway as well. My dad's actually from Athenry.
So oh, God, all right.
Shout out to everyone there too, yeah.
Right, so you have all the counties. I, by the way, congratulations on your new single. I'm not plumausing. I'm not just saying that, right? And I don't really have a musical ear. I'm not one to you know, critique songs. But I listened to it, obviously, during the week. Sweat It All Again. And I was just thinking, it's, you know...
But you know what? I probably
swear. Sorry,
it all again.
Swear it.
That's a good. That could be my next song.
exactly. Yeah. That'll be the sequel to it. But anyway, swear it all again. But I was just thinking, you know, Leanne Rimes, maybe Trisha Yearwood. Maybe I'm wrong, but there's that certain vibe to it. There's a lovely country pop sort of feel to it. Is what's the genre of it? Una.
Yeah, so I would say, like, you know, in the 90s, when I was a teenager, I loved, like, Garth Brooks and, yeah, Trisha Yearwood, Leanne Rimes, Shania Twain. Now, Sheryl Crow, she'd be, like, my ultimate idol. And I remember when I was a young teen watching her thinking, oh, I'd love a career like hers, like her music and all that. The sound she had was that kind of country pop rock. So you can hear the influences of that in there for sure. You know, that was kind of the music that I really adored and listened to in the 90s. So it has that bit of a 90s vibe to it.
Yeah, and an American vibe. And I know that, you know, there was talk, you know, back in the day you were going to maybe go and live in America, and you went there and you said, did you say it's no place to bring up children? You didn't like it?
No, it was, I did. Yeah, I was over in New York for a few days, and I just felt it was, I just think there's no place like Ireland. Like, I had the best childhood here. Like, and I even have one of my really good friends who lives in London, and she grew up in Ireland, and she like says, oh, her, the memories she has of growing up as a child in Ireland, you know, you can't beat. Like, we're very fortunate to have that here. And I'm fortunate enough to be able to take my kids back home to in a way, like, relive. If they had the childhood I had, I'd just be so happy, because it really was a great one. So I guess there's no place like home. So that's how I feel.
Because the reason I'm asking you that is because when I was looking at some of the reviews for Swear It All Again, earlier in the week, I have to say universally people loved it, and so complimentary to it. In the modern world where people are very cruel, particularly online and the keyboard warriors, and you've had your fill of them as well, I do know. And you spoke about it on the BBC in the past. But everybody was saying, you know, what a wonderful song. And there was one or two people saying, you know, you're made for Nashville. Now, I don't know, you know, is there an American dream there?
I actually, I work with some artists from Nashville. I'm you know, hopefully releasing a song with one of them. I can't say yet because we haven't announced it, but I'm doing one again now in the summer. And I've worked with Brett Young, who's over in Nashville, and Sam Palladio. He actually was on the TV show in Nashville, that my first single, Stay My Love, was a duet with him. So yeah, I'm working with people in Nashville, but to move over there and live there, it would just be, I don't know if I could do that. But I guess, like, with the world, with the way it is now, it doesn't matter where you are. We're all doing our best to release and continue doing our music. And even with the Reach Out concert tomorrow night, we're all actually doing it from home as well. So, that's just where the best place to be right now, you know. But I guess when we can and restrictions open and we can actually get out there again, my dream is to just to tour and get back out on stage here in Ireland, back over to the UK, around Europe and to America. I would love it. Just love to get back out again, performing for sure.
What about representing Ireland at the Eurovision?
Well, I've sort of been there, done that in 2006. I was a backing vocalist for Brian Kennedy.
Yeah.
Back then, and that was an amazing experience. Oh, like it was just like one of the highlights of my career at the time. It was just amazing. So yeah, maybe one day. You never know.
Yeah, no, I knew that, and I read a piece where you talked about, you know, it was a pinch yourself moment.
Oh, yeah.
Being there with Brian Kennedy. But what about the Saturdays? Was it a breakup or just a break?
We call it a hiatus, because we didn't want to say like, this is it now, because most bands, like, they take a break and they come back, you know, after a while. Like, all the girls were just busy with that, because there was new opportunities coming in for everyone. And to kind of, like, when you're one-fifth of a group, you're a team, and it's like you're only as strong as your weakest member. And we all, like, gave it 100% when we were together. So, you know, if all five aren't in it, you kind of have to, right, mm-hmm. say, right, well, let's step away from it and see what happens in the future. So, like, I know the girls all feel the same as well, that if the time is right, we'll come back again and do a reunion. That would be lovely. I'd love to do that.
But do you prefer the solo than the band?
Oh, I wouldn't say I prefer it. Like, that was a time in my life, and it was like,
well, do you miss
best.
It all? The, you know, all the travel, the glitz, the glamour,
oh,
the millions of album
it.
Sales. Yeah.
Oh, I was so lucky to be part of that group and to have the other four girls with me to enjoy that experience, because they, you know, couldn't have asked for nicer girls to share it with, you know. And we just had the time of our lives. Like, and I look back, and so much did happen in those 6 years that it's sometimes like, it's hard to believe. Like, I've got like boxes full of, like, when I move back, of loads of memorabilia and just like things that actually, you know, kind of look back sometimes and think, did that even happen? Like, it just was such a whirlwind, you know. But I was very fortunate to have that, and you know, it can never, that will never be relived again. I'm so lucky that I've had that in my past, but I'm still here today doing, releasing music, because it's my passion, and it was, yeah, that's where I started, and I'm back doing my own music now. I'm in a different stage of my life as well, so I'm just going to continue to perform and write music and everything else that I love, you know. And that's all you can do. But sure, the girls, we'll see one day. Hopefully, we'll do a reunion.
Right, so you're not ruling it out. Sure, the boy bands have done it in the past. Do you keep in touch? Do you think that there is, you know, there is a future for you know, a girl band reunion? Has the music scene, has it changed an awful lot?
Oh yeah, it's changed. Well, even now in the last 12 months, you can see how much it has changed. Although I have noticed that there's gigs, you know, planned for the near future with Westlife are back in, they're planning two dates, stadium dates, in August in the UK. Now, it's quite ambitious to imagine that even happening, like filling a stadium of people. Like, I'm sure this stadium will want to go, but, you know, but you wonder how safe it would be. Mm. But, you know, that's why even for the concert tomorrow night, that's why it's all virtual. And that seems to be how it is here now. But in Nashville, they're already starting gigs again in venues like with a couple of hundred people. It's looking, you can kind of see the light at the end of the tunnel with the vaccines and everything as well, that hopefully we will get back out and be performing again.
Yeah, I know. We're talking about how people, you know, they enjoy sport, but so many people probably aren't into sport or whatever. They just can't wait to get back to concerts. Concerts is another huge thing that people just are dying to be able to get back to, going to gigs and concerts and
going
all of
gigs,
that.
Yeah. That's, and leaving your worries at the door as well, because that's what it's, you know, going to a gig is a form of, it's entertainment, but it's also a form of escapism as well, where you can turn up to a venue and go, do you know what? I'm just going to park my problems at the door and go and enjoy this experience of music. And then you're there with your friends, and, you know, the people on stage are loving it because they're performing, doing what they love. The people are turning up there because they want to hear it. And, you know, I both sides of the stage, I miss the gigs myself from being there.
Well,
you know, look, as a fan myself, you know.
Well, we can whet the appetite tomorrow night by dialing into or logging on to reachout2021.com. It starts at 8 o'clock. If you're into country music, all the greats are going to be there, and you're hosting it, Una, and I know you're looking forward to it. Thank you so much for taking time, and well done to Tadhg league. And Aoife as well, Aoife Bell there, for being so good for Mammy and allowing her to speak on the radio. Do you know what? I'm going to play a little blast of Swear It All again. It's a great song. We're going to give it a little bit of a blast. Una, it's been a pleasure chatting to you. Thank you very much for joining us on the programme this morning, and the very best of luck tomorrow night, and the best of luck on today with Dahi in a few weeks' time as well.
Oh, thank you so much, Damien. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome.